Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Genesis. The first book of 66. If you're wise, you will have your Bible in your lap, a pen in your hand, that you can go through and learn something and remember it. Heavenly Father, I pray that you might bless each one that's in obedience to you this morning, that loves you this morning, and wants to know more about you. I pray that you might bless in the study of the Word of God this morning, that lives might be changed, that eyes might be opened, and Lord, again, we might be blessed by the God of heaven. Little do we deserve it. Thank you for your love, your guidance, and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis chapter 1. This morning, we're going to find out who the Holy Spirit is. You think you know. You'll be surprised. I think as you open yourself to God to be able to teach you, the Holy Spirit of God. There's a Trinity in the Bible, which means three persons in one. There's only one God, but he is shown in three different ways, three different persons, three different personalities. And so the Holy Spirit is one of them. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, it tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5. The first mention of him is right here in Genesis. In verse 1 it says, in the beginning God created in heaven, the heaven and earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. Verse 2 is the first place in the Bible that you find the Holy Spirit. He's called many different things in the Bible. The Spirit of God, just like it says. He's called the Spirit of life. He's called the Spirit of truth. He's called the Spirit of grace. The Spirit of adoption. The Spirit of power. The Spirit of comfort. The Spirit of holiness. He does many things. The reason that it's so important for you to see what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit is because there's churches all over the world that don't know the way the Holy Spirit works. You get all of your charismatics, most Assembly of God Pentecostal churches, most of those are saved as much as any Baptist is. Their problem is they've got the Holy Spirit all messed up. And so it's not biblical. So that's not why we can't fellowship with them and so forth. Because of that. But if they're saved, you can fellowship as a brother and sister. But notably, that thing will come up, you know, about the Holy Spirit. Well, these things you can learn this morning. And there's a list of them. So buckle up, get your Bible out, pay attention, You got to be on top of things to be able to learn and to grow. We find out that the Holy Spirit is a person. He's a person. It's not an it. It's not a thing. It's not just a power. It's an actual person. It's part of the Godhead, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So, he has a personality. Right here in Genesis. So, first of all, he's part, especially used of God to create. Genesis chapter 1. God, it says in verse 1, and in verse 2, it says the Spirit of God. Amen. Go to chapter 6, Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. And in verse 3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days be 120 years. People were living a long time, more than they are today. But Jane, it says there, 120 years, so buckle in. And it's thousands of years ago. It's 6,000 years. This earth from creation, you're talking 6,000 years. Don't let any evolutionist come along and tell you that it's 13 billion years and everything that the universe is. No, there's no evidence for that. They're talking about making something out of nothing. Someone created everything, folks. And the Holy Spirit of God was in on it, for sure. But you can have the Holy Spirit, that he won't work in your favor anymore. What did Jeff say? Not always will he strive with man. You get convicted about some sin in your life, you need to thank God you got convicted. You know that God, the Spirit, is striving with you. He's working with you. He's bundling up everything and then straightening out in your life. The Holy Spirit, that's the way God works, is by the Holy Spirit inside working out. If you're saved this morning, he's in you right now. If you're not saved, then he's not. That might explain a lot of things. So pay attention. Let's go to the book of John. John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And verse 8. The Lord Jesus, he goes ahead and speaks about the Spirit of God. John chapter 16, and in verse 8 it says about the Comforter. Let's pick it up in verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged. He's going to reprove. A rebuke is sharp. Reproof is, he speaking to me the truth? God will always reprove you first before he rebukes you. God doesn't use a shotgun right away. He just makes it uncomfortable sometimes. And a lot of people can't take that, the conviction that comes from the truth. And it's the Holy Spirit's job to do that. And he will do that. He reproves. Look at verse 39 in chapter 17. Or excuse me, I want John 7. Go back to 7. John chapter 7. John 7, and when he talks about the Holy Spirit, Jesus, in verse 38, chapter 7, verse 38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So here he said it twice. When I go away, I will send the Spirit to you. And right here it says as well that the Holy Ghost was not yet given. Now, he's always been around. We saw him in Genesis chapter 1. The whole Bible starts off with the Spirit of God. Nothing gets done. The Spirit of God is the action side of God. The Father is the brains of everything, okay? And his Son came to become a man so he could die on the cross for us. So there were three different things by three different personalities of the one God. And so that is the Godhead that it talks about in the Bible. So you understand clearly that he reproves, Jesus said. We just saw he's the one that does that conviction. The Holy Spirit can use anything to convict us. But it's by the preaching of the word that the Holy Spirit loves to use the word of God to convict us, to reprove us, and then rebuke us. That's why when you see back in 2 Timothy chapter 4 what a preacher is supposed to do, he's supposed to reprove and rebuke. And so that's what a good preacher will do. Sorry to say, there aren't too many of those around these days, because it's uncomfortable, isn't it, to be convicted of a sin or something you haven't done right, you haven't pleased God, so forth. And so that should stir us to repent of our sin and to live for the Lord. The Holy Spirit's the only one who can do that. That's the way God set it up. Go to John chapter 14. Some different aspects of the Holy Spirit this morning that you understand what he is. Some people get so conceited, Christians do, that they think they already know everything, but they don't. But they'll never admit that, you see. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. We already know verse 15, do we not? If you love me, keep my commandments. But 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever.
Amen.
Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not. He's invisible. Neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Important thing there. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was not in people all the time. He was on the outside influencing. You'll find in the Old Testament, you read that the Holy Spirit came upon Saul. The Holy Spirit came on Elijah. But here, that's what Jesus says in verse 17. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So here it's the Spirit of truth. He's eternal because he's God. And he lives within us. This was 2,000 years ago or so that Jesus said these things. And at that time, the Spirit had not fully come. That came at Pentecost. Excuse me. And so we'll put that thing all together. Look at verse 18 right there. I will not leave you comfortless. What a blessing. He comforts, folks. He comforts. Look at verse 26. John 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, so now you know who the Comforter is if you didn't know, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Guess who teaches you? You just read it, didn't you? He uses me as a servant just to pass on what the Bible says to you. But I can only teach between your ears. It's the Holy Spirit that can teach your heart and soul. You have to have the information, first of all. But then the Holy Spirit takes that word of God and goes ahead and works in us. He works over us, too. Works us over. Amen, he does. And so he's the teacher. Praise the Lord for him. You should have a new appreciation for the Holy Spirit of God this morning.
Amen.
When you see, we're not even halfway through. There's so many things that he does we take for granted. When's the last time you thanked the Holy Spirit? When's the last time you talked to the Holy Spirit? Talk to him. He's a person. He's God. And he lives within you, and he'll be there forever.
Amen.
Now, if you could lose your salvation, he wouldn't be in you forever, would it? So there's just another proof that you cannot lose your salvation. He's with you forever. So he's the teacher. Go to chapter 16. John chapter 16. And in verse 13. Jesus said again, albeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. It says he'll hear. Wait a minute. What's he going to hear? He's going to hear the truth. He takes the truth that the preacher preaches, and it shows it to you, and then that guides you You get some weird unsaved witchcraft people and everything. They're talking about, wow, my spirit guide is. They put names in spirit guides. No, there's only one guide, and that is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God, watch out. The Bible always clear up things that this old world will confuse you with every time. Now it tells you right there in verse 13, very plainly, He guides you. Now, the next words are important too. What's it say? You can read it to me. Hello? Anybody alive?
Into all truth.
Into all truth. Is that what it says? He'll not guide you into falsehood. He'll not guide you into lies. He will not guide you into something that's false. Something that will hurt you. The Holy Spirit will teach you the truth. And so look for that. This book is a dead book without the Holy Spirit of God.
Hallelujah.
It's just a book full of pages. Every man has been fiddling with the Bible thousands of years. That's why you got so many versions out there in the market today. That's not of the Holy Spirit. They leave out verses. They change words. God, the Holy Spirit, will lead you into all truth. Let God be true and every man a liar is what the Bible says very clearly. And so it's important for you to know. These are some of the attributes of the Spirit that lives within you. It can't be more personal to you than if you're saved this morning, because He lives in you. And He'll be there forever. This should be very important to you. Talk about closeness, I guess. Look at John 15, just a page before. John 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me. And ye shall also bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. He testifies. The Holy Spirit testifies. He doesn't brag on Himself. He does not call attention to Himself. He testifies of Jesus. That's what Jesus said. When He comes, He's going to testify of me. All of the attention should be on Jesus Christ. What's this world going to do here in a few weeks at Christmas time? What attention does the whole world look for? They've got their own agenda. They got their own false beliefs. They got an old guy in a suit flying through the air with reindeer and stuff, huh? The attention's on Him. The Holy Spirit of God will have the attention on Jesus. Not only at Christmas, but all through your life. Watch out when people try to divert glory off to someone else and so forth. I don't deserve any glory as your preacher. I'm a servant of God. My job is to preach the truth to you. The Holy Spirit takes over and teaches you. And the Holy Spirit changes your life. And so it's important for you to understand how everything works. Watch out about idolizing preachers. There's been good preachers down through the ages. Nobody's denying that. They have their faults. I have my faults. Any human being will. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. No little Bible that I want to go ahead and show you before I go to heaven and be with the Lord. And so watch out about idolizing other preachers of the past as well as now, you know. And so go where the truth is, that the Holy Spirit is in his place. That's what God wants to do for us. Go to Romans chapter 15. Right after Acts, you get Romans. Romans chapter 15. Right at the end of Romans comes chapter 15, verse 26. No, that is not right. Now, Romans 15, verse 16. That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost sanctifies. The word sanctified means it's separated specially for holiness, for God. You don't take something that's pure and holy and put it in mud or hog slop or whatever. It's sanctified. It's all by itself. There's nothing like the Holy Spirit of God. What Satan always tried to do? He makes a counterfeit of the Holy Spirit. Because the miracles done by Jesus, they're going to be done by the Antichrist in the tribulation period as well. It'll be counterfeit. Anything good, Satan either destroys or counterfeits to make it popular with people so that they will do that. Well, it's the Holy Spirit that separates himself, and he wants us separated from the world as well. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And in verse 10. It says, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Who's searching around inside you? The Holy Spirit. You can't hide from God. Holy Spirit's down there searching you out. He's searching out the truth from falseness. He wants us to live for God, that we will be in happiness and peace because of him. The truth will always prevail. It may take plenty of time, but God's not in a hurry. He doesn't need a calendar. Amen. There's no time with God. 1,000 days. 1,000 years, the same as day to him. And so it tells you there in verse 10, he searches. Look at verse 11, he does something else. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Again, there's a spirit of man. You have a spirit that you were born with. That's the way you are. that your DNA and everything else, you have a spirit. The way you act, the way you bring yourself out, whether you act kind or you act hard, whether you're unforgiving or forgiving, it's your spirit inside. And most people just have their spirit that is influenced by a wicked world out here, through TV, through cell phones, everything else. That's the way your spirit gets influenced. Then there's the Spirit of God. He searches out your life and shows you where the truth is and where the falseness is. That's why you don't have to be confused like the world. You got a book that you can go to that the Holy Spirit shows you the answer about those things. And that we can counsel and bring out truth to be able to help you in your life as well. But you see, in we go to chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I've told you before that these three chapters, 12, 13, and 14, have to do with the Spirit in the church, in you. 12, 13, 14. The 14 talks about tongues. Okay? But, so it does lay down how the Spirit should be in the church. In chapter 12 and in verse 11, it says, "But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." The Holy Spirit divides all of these gifts that they had in the first church. Not according to your will, but to his will. That's why some people back in Paul's day, the first church, had these gifts of miracles. They had real tongues back then. Did everybody speak in tongues? No. Because the Holy Spirit divided it to only certain ones as he wants to, as his will is. God has a will that should overpower your will. What you want is not going to be important in the whole scheme of things. God's will be important. And that's why you can be a blessing to others to use the different gifts that he gives you. Tongues have ceased now, but even then he divided to them according to his will who got what gift. So it's important you see what chapter 12 is about and what the Holy Spirit does. Now go to 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6. There are so many things about the Holy Spirit, that's why I'm trying to go as fast as I can. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse 19. "What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" Obviously, the thing I've said over and over again, he dwells in us. Our body is just a temple that God lives in. If you're saved. If you're not saved, your body's a temple that you live in. Still shouldn't abuse your body, whether you're saved or unsaved. But the whole thing is, it's even higher. We've got more responsibility. We've got more accountability unto God because our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. We got to watch out what we take in and what we say out. What should be coming out of that temple? Figure it out. Pretty easy to know, isn't it? So that's what the Holy Spirit of God can do right there. Go to Isaiah chapter 63. Book of Isaiah chapter 63. Isaiah 63 and in verse 10. It says here, but they rebelled, the people of Israel, but they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. I don't know about you, but I want the Holy Spirit fighting for me, not against me.
Amen.
You know what will turn that around? You rebel. You rebel against God. I'm going to have my own way. You know, you get that attitude. That's your spirit. That's certainly not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is humble. The Holy Spirit will never rebel because he's God. But when we rebel, we vex the Holy Spirit. We put him down. We cut him off. So many Christians don't live by the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians 4:30 says that the Holy Spirit can be grieved. Can you actually grieve the Holy Spirit? Yeah.
Isn't that the only unpardonable sin?
Yeah, but it's in conjunction with salvation that we're talking there. Okay. Because a Christian can't lose his salvation, so it's not in that context. But yeah, that is the unpardonable sin. You are rebelling against the Holy Spirit. A lost person is rebelling against the Holy Spirit, keeping away from him. He's vexing him. Holy Spirit doesn't work on them anymore. What was the verse back in Genesis? The Spirit of God will not always strive with men. Holy Spirit stop working on you, you're out of luck. You're up the creek without a paddle. You're done. So it's important that you don't vex the Holy Spirit and rebel against him. Do what's right. Go back to the book of Acts, chapter 7. The book of Acts, chapter 7. Acts chapter 7 and in verse 51. Here's Stephen the deacon. Godly deacon, boy, he was preaching. He was being a good example to the others in the church. Acts chapter 7, verse 51. He was preaching and said, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. We just read that in Isaiah, didn't we?
Yes, sir.
There it is. As your fathers did before. The Holy Spirit can be resisted. That's what it says right there. Calvinism. I've told you about Calvinism before. It's a false teaching. It says that the Spirit of God is you can't resist him. Okay? And so, there's 5 points of Calvinism, and they're all unscriptural. But there are churches around that still teach Calvinism. The name of the church is usually Reformed in the church name, you know, Reformed Baptist Church, or Reformed Lutheran Church, or whatever it is. Usually, doesn't mean all the time. But anyway, They believe that. Well, right there it tells you the Holy Spirit can be resisted. Because if he couldn't be resisted, everybody be saved. God would save them. But he can be resisted, and that's what the problem is. Go to Acts 5. Back up. Acts chapter 5, verse 9. Here's Ananias and Sapphira, and it says in verse 9, "Then Peter said unto her, How is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord?" The Spirit of God can be tempted. You don't want to tempt God. What happened to Ananias and Sapphira? They were killed on the spot. Quite an example to set for a brand new church. Two people lied, agreed together to lie to the Holy Spirit, and they tempted the Holy Spirit. Don't you do that. Learn from history. Learn from the Bible. Important that you do. Acts chapter 1, of course, just back a few pages, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, it tells you there, "But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." That the Holy Spirit empowers. When God gives you a command to do, he gives you the power to carry out that command by the Holy Spirit. It takes away every excuse we can think of. That's why you're going to be accountable unto God if you don't do what God tells you to do. Because God doesn't want you to waste your life down here. He wants you to be active in the church, working for him. Go to Ephesians 4, just a couple more. We'll be done this morning. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 30. I hope you're making marks in your Bible. You're learning something this morning. Should be. Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 30. It says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." He's already redeemed our soul. He's already bought back our soul. There's going to come a day when our bodies will be redeemed also at the rapture. When we go our souls are in heaven. We're citizens in heaven, the Bible says. But there's going to be a day when our actual bodies will be changed and in heaven. That's the day of redemption. The important thing that you see in that verse right there in verse 30, he seals us. We can't be lost. Another verse it says, we're sealed until our bodies go. And then we're with them. But down here, we can't lose our salvation. Right there's your verse. Right there's your proof text. Use it. One last verse in 1 Thessalonians. The book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. First Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 19. quench, not the Spirit. The Holy Spirit can be quenched. You know, when the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost, there were fiery tongues on top of the heads of each one of that received the Holy Spirit, everybody that got saved. That's quite a vision in your mind. 3,000 people got saved. Tongues of fire on top, showing that this is the Holy Spirit. Fiery. You can put water on that. It says you can quench the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is also representative of a dove, right? White dove, you've seen that before. Doves are very skittish. Boy, just had a little sound. Oh boy, they're out of here. That's the way the Holy Spirit is. We need to be more sensitive how we act, we speak, we do. Some of the things that go on in Christians' lives, Spirit isn't in that thing at all. He flew away a long time ago. Our salvation is secure because of Him, because He put the seal on it. Gordon Brownsville's Symbols of the Holy Spirit tells about the great Norwegian explorer, Ronald Amundsen. The first discovered the magnetic meridian in the North Pole and to discover the South Pole. On one of his trips, Amundsen took a homing pigeon with him. When he had finally reached the top of the world, he opened the bird's cage and set it free. Imagine the delight of Edmundson's wife back in Norway when she looked up from the doorway of her home and saw the pigeon circling in the sky above. No doubt, she exclaimed, he's alive. My husband is still alive. So it is. So it was when Jesus ascended. He was gone, but the disciples clung to his promise to send the Holy Spirit. What joy then when the dove-like Holy Spirit descended at Pentecost. The disciples had within them the continual reminder that Jesus was alive and victorious at the right hand of the Father. And this continues to be the Spirit's message to us. If God did anything in your life while you heard and studied with me this morning, you should praise the Lord for that, because that's the Holy Spirit teaching you. That's the Holy Spirit being active in you. That's what you need. That's normal for a Christian. For God to shake us up, to convict us of sin, to reprove us, may we be pure as a dove. We might not rebel against God in anything. Important to be close to God. I fail all the time. I'm glad for 1 John 1:9 that I can confess my sin. That he's one that's willing to make me righteous. Cleanse me from sin. What sin do you need to repent of this morning? The Holy Spirit pointed it out to you this morning. He said He would. I pray that you'll get to know the Holy Spirit a lot better because of today's study. Our Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit of God that indwells us, that goes ahead and takes our prayer, the prayer I'm making right now, to the throne of God. And the only way we can be bold to come to the throne of God is because of your Son and what he did for us. He poured us into the family of God. He saved us by the blood being spilled. Thank you, Lord. May each one be a different person when they realize that the Holy Spirit does all of these things. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Take your hymn books again. Number 319. Number 319. The altar is open for an invitation. Let's stand and sing, and you can come as you need to the altar this morning. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thine voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. We'll close there. Others that aren't here this morning, tell them the truth. Tell them what you learned. It may be a blessing to them as well. Don't forget tonight, service at 6 o'clock. Don't forget, look at that chair that I told you about before. If you want to, first come, first serve. If you want it, take it with you this morning. Okay? And or tonight if you're going to be here at the evening service. So just don't forget that, okay? Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, I pray that you might continue your work within each one of us. We belong to you. We are bought with a price, the Holy Spirit living within us. Help us. You've given us power to talk to other people. You've given us power to pray. You've given us power to witness. Help us to do it. Help us to obey you and not rebel against you. Bless us as we go from God's house now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, fellowship together, won't you please?